Good evening, everyone. And first of all, I would like to thank you so much for having me this evening. And from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of London City Mission, I would like to extend a great big thank you for all your prayers and support for so many years. And without your support, particularly prayer support, this work in the capital city isn't possible. And you all must have heard about London City Mission. Any of you don't know about London City Mission? You all know about London City Mission. So I don't need to tell you much, but still I'll give you a brief update what is happening. And before I begin, if Jesus didn't come into my life, I would have been lost. At the age of 30, I was touched by the Lord and been separated. I was born in India, and I grew up born to Christian parents, and I grew up in a Christian family. And in India, any of you have been to India? You know, definitely India is such a vast, big country. More than 80% of the Indian population are Hindus. And I grew up there. Even though, you know, I go to the church week after week with my parents, it's a custom in India, you know. All the Christians will go to the church on Sundays, take the children to the Sunday club, and study the, you know, the Bible stories and all that. All these things are fine, but still, I didn't have Christ in my heart. As I grew, all my ambition was to become big in life, make more money, build up my career, be successful. These are the things, you know, priorities in my life, and I lost in Jesus Christ. Only at the age of 30, I was in Germany for 2 years, deputed for my organization's trading office in Düsseldorf. And at that time, the Lord touched me. I had an opportunity because I was all alone away from the family, and I started reading the Bible from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. I praise God even today for that. And God touched me through Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. There's no point in gaining the whole world, losing the soul. So I just went back to India. My wife is from a committed Christian family. She used to, you know, tell me very often, even after marriage, a couple of years, she just, you know, tried to push me that you got to get baptized, you got to come back to Christ. And, you know, I didn't listen, but that moment God spoke to me. I told my wife, and we went straight to the local church and got baptized and gave my life to Jesus. And that day onwards, my life is completely changed. To make the story, long story short, we moved to this country in 2005 as a family. And I started working for United Nations, procurement. And I used to travel a lot to several countries. I love traveling. But God decided to put a stop for everything and wanted me to do the procurement job for the kingdom. You know, he wanted me to go and pick up, procure people for his kingdom in this world. That is what, you know, we pray, you know, may your kingdom come. That is what, you know, see, in 2021, I joined London City Mission, leaving all my secular jobs. It was a very interesting job. But I had a thirst in my heart right from the day I committed my life to Jesus. You know what, I'll tell you an interesting thing. When I moved to England, I was so happy that I'm coming to a country, you know, it's a Christian country. I was so glad, but after coming to this country, right from the Heathrow airport to the house where I was going to stay, the taxi driver was a Hindu guy, and he played some Tamil music and some Hindu songs, and I was taken aback. And when I drive past, I saw some temples and names in Tamils and all that thing that just put me to, that provoked me, we have to do a lot in this country. And, in Acts chapter 17, when Apostle Paul ended up in Athens, he didn't intend to go there, but, because of his troubles, he was dropped there and asked him to, he was asked to wait for his companions to join there. Then he just walked around. If I am in that situation, or any of us in that situation, we would have just enjoyed the falafel in Athens, isn't it? But he didn't do that. He just went to the marketplace. He went to the synagogue. He saw the statues, big statues. He got provoked. He got completely upset. He developed passion in his heart for that place. And he went and reasoned with the people there, tried to explain to them what they are worshipping makes no sense. One of the statues even mentioned that to an unknown God, isn't it? So that's how I felt. But still, that wasn't the right time for me. God prepared me. In Psalm we see God prepares your hands for the war, and he prepares our fingers for the fight, for the kingdom fight. God prepared me for several years, and I was so happy with the secular job, but always at the back of my mind, I wanted to get involved. So I started worshipping in a Tamil church. I'm from Tamil Nadu in India. It's the southernmost state of India. And I started worshipping in a Tamil church in London. And I found out, I also worshipped at Rhinus Lane Baptist Church in Harrow. And I found out from my Tamil friends in the church saying that, they said to me, how come you are going to an English church? English church is only for English-speaking people, for the local people. We are not, we cannot go into that church. That was the thinking they had. And then that surprised me. I said, no, it's no way it is like that. And I went and spoke to the pastor there. This is what my friends are thinking. We should change this, thinking of the people. And then we just, discussed, and we sticked a board outside. All are welcome in Tamil language. And we started a Tamil, praise and worship fellowship there. And we started with two families, and by God's grace, it is the Holy Spirit's work, isn't it? So we are now about 30 families worshiping there Friday after Friday. It's part of the, the Baptist church ministry. It's not a separate church. So we wanted to have that oneness. Churches are welcoming. It is like a, kingdom. It's heaven. In heaven, we are all same. We are all one people. So that's my little story background. And then I started working for London City Mission. Then a little bit of background about me. I have two children. My wife is a lecturer. She works in a further education college. She teaches biology. And two children. I have a son and a daughter. They both are grown up, and they both are working. My daughter lives in Lisbon in Portugal. I love cricket, and I love gardening. Anyone for cricket here? Yeah? Do you watch IPL? I support CSK. Anyway, that's about me. And I started working as a missionary with the London City Mission from 2000. Is it working? Yeah. If you don't know about London City Mission is about 188 years. It was prepared last year. So one, you have to add one more year to that. 188 years old. 188 years back, David Naismith from Scotland, with a few of his friends. They had a burden in their heart to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus to the Londoners. Imagine London City 188 years before. It's not the same London what we can see now. How many of you had been to London recently? It is completely changed. You had been to London. So it's completely changed now. You might have heard about the, you know, the big cholera happened in 1850s or somewhere around that time. And during that period, David Naismith and his friends went to each and every household. He visited them with the good news of gospel and helped them during the, he made use of that situation. So he had that burden in his heart. And every missionary working in London City Mission still have that burden in our hearts. I'm here this evening, you know, to stir up that spirit in all our hearts and encourage everyone to do whatever possible way to take the good news to your friends, to your family, to your workplace, to any stranger, any strange person. Say hello. You know, see, it may not be possible for everyone, but we are going to pray that the Lord will, you know, give us the opportunity, first of all, to, you know, meet someone, and then give us the courage to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. It's not easy if you think you want to do it in your own, you know, personal capacity, or I'm good, I can speak to anyone. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us to speak to someone about Jesus. So, because London needs Jesus, London City Mission exists. And you will be surprised to know 1 in 2 people in London City don't know about Jesus Christ. Do you know about it? And 1 in 2 don't have a friend, Christian friend, to invite them into a church. They don't have a friend. It is very sad to see. So we have a big job to be done. You know, it's a tragedy. 1 in 2. You know, see, I'm also a street pastor. Have you heard about street pastor? You know, they walk in the night, and we walk in the night to, you know, look out for the homeless and people who are in a situation where they need help. We see a lot of people. You know, every tube station in London City, you will find a homeless person. So LCM, we want to see, you know, we work alongside the churches. We don't go, you know, see, London is such a huge city, and more than 1 million people living there. So we cannot reach out to all of them. So what we do is we go into the local churches and encourage ordinary Christians to become volunteers and come out with us, and we train them, encourage them, and, take them with us. And, you know, that's how we can reach out. It's a network. We can reach out. Every church, if they reach out to the local community, the job done. The job is done. But that's the challenge now in every church. Going and, you know, encouraging volunteers is a great job, great challenge now. 4.5 million people in London have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and we want to share this in a way people can easily understand. We don't need to be a big speaker or anything like that. In simple language, we have to introduce Jesus to the, that, you know, because we have a great big commandment from Jesus. Therefore, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, you know, Jesus is not saying sit within the walls, sit within the synagogue and shout. He said, go. We are going to see from Acts chapter 8 how the gospel started spreading beyond Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem was fine, but how did that happen? How did the gospel go out of Jerusalem? How did the command of Jesus happen? So that's what we do there. These are the areas we work as missionaries. Estates and seniors, we have missionaries going into the estates, you know, talk to the housebound people and then introducing them to Jesus. And then homeless and marginalized, we have separate centers for that. Diaspora communities, where I'm working, I work among the diaspora community from the South Asian countries, particularly from India, Sri Lanka, and Nepal, you know, many other Asian countries where, you know, Hindus of Tamil speaking and the Gujarati speaking Hindus, and we have missionaries working among the Sikh community as well. And then for Islam and other religions, Islam is the second largest community in London city. And then we have children and youth and school. Children, youth and schools, we have missionaries working through the schools, encouraging the parents and the school, the children, and introducing Jesus in a way they clearly understand what it is. I work in Harrow. If you know London City, London, Harrow is one of the most diverse boroughs in London. And in Harrow, we have about 260,000 people living there. And out of that, about 67,000 people are Hindus and 41,000 Muslims. And sadly, no religion is 27,000. And gospel needs to be reached to 136,000 people. We are only two missionaries working in Harrow. Do you think this is possible with the two missionaries? That is the reason why we go and encourage the churches and, you know, asking them to come along with us, become a gospel partner with us. We can do it together. And I'm thankful to, you know, Loham Chapel for working together as a gospel partner with London City Mission. And thank you for your support. This ministry is definitely wouldn't be possible without, you know, support from churches like Loham. Yeah, that's the ethnicity in Harrow, just to give you an information. This is the particular, you know, what we do is before approaching any churches, we do a local research of the area. How many of you know what is the population of this place, Henley? How many people live in this borough? About 50,000, I think. I did a little bit of research. About 55, 60,000. And out of this 60, about 30,000, very nice to see that, are Christians. And very sadly, you know, more than 20-30% have declared they don't belong to any religion. They don't want to be associated with any kind of religions. So we have a great job to be done, not necessarily reaching out to those Hindus and Muslims, even to the, you know, people who have backslided and not. Where are the Christian people who have declared that they are Christians? If all of them are serious Christians, follower of Jesus Christ, they will be here in this church by this time. So we need to reach out to everyone. So we do a little bit of research about the local area and then go and encourage the churches to come alongside and get trained to reach out to the local community. This is what we do, and we want Jesus Christ known in every community. And there are more than 100 churches in Harrow. And together with the churches, we can reach out to the local community, as I mentioned before. Envisioning, training, and equipping is the main core, you know, ambition of London City Mission. And we do Hindu evangelism training, particularly trained people, how anyone has any Hindu friends in your workplace or anyone know any Hindu friends? Yeah? If you visit a Hindu household, you will see when you enter, you will see an altar with, full of idols and, the lights and incense and whatever, they use it for worshipping. And how you can initiate a conversation with them and change that conversation into a spiritual conversation. That is what we give them training. You can learn about a little bit about Hinduism. Any clue? There are how many gods in Hinduism? Any clue? Wild guess? No idea. Well, very good, but it's much, much higher than 100. Can you go a little bit, long, more than that?
1,000?
More than that. Very well done, but... Yeah, 330 million gods. Can you imagine? Yeah, you'll be surprised to know that. If anyone goes to India, every village, when you enter, you will see a big statue with some kind of weapons or something in their hand. And they will say, this is the god which is protecting this village. They will create gods in anything, everything. So that is how there are about 330 million gods. You can ask them when you enter the household of a Hindu friend. Politely you can ask them. I know there are about, many gods in Hinduism. May I know which particular god do you worship? They would love to explain to you which god they want to, they worship. And you can just, catch from there. You know what? I worship Jesus Christ. Can I say something? They will say, for example, the Saraswati, they celebrated Diwali yesterday. It's a festival of lights. Maybe in the schools they would have celebrated. Anyone know about that? Yesterday there was a big celebration, the fireworks and all that. You can ask them, why do you celebrate this? What is that, behind this celebration? And then you can slowly turn that conversation into a spiritual conversation. Can I introduce Jesus? Can I talk about, I worship. You have to speak always, when you speak to a Hindu friend about Jesus, we don't have the habit of saying Lord Jesus, unless maybe sometime when we pray, we use that word Lord Jesus. Every Hindu person, they will address their God as Lord, Lord Krishna, Lord so-and-so, like that. So when you say Jesus, you must, be very careful and use that. I worship Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, then it will have an impact on their heart. Of course, they will say, yeah, I know Lord Jesus. He is one of the gods and he will take the photo of Jesus Christ and keep it among the idols of the other gods. And they will say, yeah, he is one of the gods for us and we will worship. But don't get discouraged. That's a starting point. We have to pray. The Holy Spirit will slowly, work in their hearts and remove all those other idols, and they will start seeing the real Jesus in their life. That's what we give training. And then street evangelism, we go for door knocking and street, issuing tracts. And then we have book table ministry. And yeah, we do Christmas outreach. Last year, we've been doing a lot of outreach outside the tube stations. And that's one of the local churches with whom we worked. They've hired a real donkey somewhere from this place, I think. And then, to attract the children. A lot of non-Christians, they came and participated. It was wonderful. I think for some reason it's not working. Anyway, this is again South Arrow. And then on Thursdays, if you want to see me, you can come straight to Found Charity in South Arrow. That is attached to Christ Church in Harrow, where we do offer free coffee, tea, and hot chocolates for children, and then, introduce them Jesus. Next slide. I don't know. Yeah, these are some of the photographs where I'm personally involved in the ministry. And this is the North Arrow Churches Together, where we did a witness walk carrying the cross. And this is the Book Table Ministry. I'll share a very quick story before we close this introduction about LCM. During the Book Table Ministry, there was a man called Modi. He's a Hindu guy from India. Apparently the name of the Prime Minister of India is Modi. I would request you sincerely, please pray for India. You know, the current government, they won the third term, and they want to make India a Hindu nation, and they want to eliminate all other religions there. They want to consider Christianity as a foreign religion. It's a white man's religion, so we don't need that. And they try to, persecute churches and stop conversions and all that. So please take time to pray for India. And this guy, Modi, walked in and he said, I'm very glad to see. He picked up a Bible from the book table and he walked into the church. We offered him a coffee. It's a coffee morning we have. And then he started coming to the church. And another lady just came and knocked the door, before we closed. And she came to the church and I told her, you can sit and pray. She was looking for something in the church. She asked me, where is Jesus here? I was shocked and I thought she's mocking at me. And then I said, no, I realized what she's trying to ask me. She was looking for statues of Jesus Christ to worship. And then I said, we don't keep any statues. We just have the cross there. You can sit quietly and pray. And I just offered, can I pray for you? She said she wanted to call her family inside. They came inside and prayed. I saw literally she was crying. Why I am sharing this story is there are people longing for the love and grace of Jesus Christ in London, particularly in Harrow where I am working. So this, we have a great work happening there. This is the Tamil Fellowship which I mentioned in the beginning. We started with two families and by the power of God, we are now about 30 families, and this was taken last year and we do have more people this year, and praise be to God. Please continue to pray. And these are some of the photographs of the Harrow team and the West London team. Yeah. What you can do is I would request you to please continue to pray for us. Pray for London missions, London City missions work in London. And please continue to give generously whatever God prompts you to give, because without your support, all these work, we need resources. We need, protection. We need that prayer for, protection from God. We need resources. Please continue to give. And finally, I would encourage you to please go boldly. Ask God for the boldness to speak about Jesus to someone. Ask for the opportunity. The Lord will definitely give the opportunity. So pray for me personally, for my family, for my protection. It is not easy always. It is challenging to go on the streets, to go and knock the doors, go and speak to strangers about Jesus. It is not always safe. We need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we go in the power of Jesus, not our own strength. So please continue to pray for me personally, for my family, and also, you can pray for these prayer points. See how the work of God, the gospel was extended beyond Jerusalem. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 8 from verse 1 to 25. We may not have time to read that whole 25 verses, but you can follow me. Normally, till what time your service, the evening service, say, what time do you finish so that I can... 7:30, 7:45, 7:30, half past. Okay, I'll try to be as quick as possible. Yeah. Now, the book of Acts is the history of the early church. Luke tells us the story how the message of Jesus' death and resurrection went from a small group of people in Jerusalem to a big group of people all over the Roman Empire. We can see in verse 8, there was a great joy in the city. I love that verse actually, verse 8, Acts chapter verse 8. When the good news of Jesus come into any city, to anyone individually, there is a personal joy. How many of you believe that there is power in the gospel? When we have the gospel, the word of God in us, particularly the gospel, when it reaches to someone, it makes a breakthrough. It doesn't come back empty-handed. It will finish its work. That is what God has commanded. In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we will see the gospel breaking through the boundaries, going from Jerusalem to Samaria and other cities. That's what Jesus is commanding. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we see, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jerusalem was good. They are all happy because they have seen Jesus' miracles and they were all happy. But Jesus doesn't want to stop there. Jesus wants the gospel to go beyond Jerusalem. The mission begins very reluctantly at church. The opening verse of chapter 8, if you see how the early church was persecuted, it begins with the statement in verse 1. We know the story how Saul, you know, Stephen was executed. And on that day, in verse 8 it says, on that day a severe persecution broke out against the church as in Jerusalem. And you know what happened? All except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. The killing of Stephen wasn't a good news actually. He was killed. And now the persecution was not just against a few isolated people, but the entire church in Jerusalem. But in the middle of the horrors of persecution against the followers of Christ, gospel crossed its boundaries. The gospel was extended to Samaria. The mission work was extended to Samaria, fulfilling what Jesus said in the beginning in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I don't know how it will work in your life, but I know how it worked in my life. God had to break through my comfort, as I shared at the beginning. God had to disturb my heart, disturb my regular, you know, the routine, joyful life, through my comfort, he had to make a breakthrough from my comfort, take me from my comfort and apathy to propel me to take the gospel to new areas. That's how I ended up in the mission work. I still have the spirit in my heart. I'm stirred up. If you ask me to just go out now and shout for Jesus, I'm ready to go and shout. You know, apparently last month, you know, in July, August, I was on holiday in India. I went to visit my family. during that time, I suddenly developed a chest pain, and the doctors found out that there are, you know, blocks in my arteries. I had to undergo angioplasty. They did angiogram and found out more than 90% blocks, which I couldn't believe at all. I used to walk 4 miles a day and do all kinds of exercises, but still, I was too naughty. I've been, you know, I had uncontrolled diabetes and cholesterol. That's the reason why the doctor said you have to undergo. I was arguing with the doctor. I cannot believe it. I will not have it. But I had to undergo. But praise God. God did the MOT on my you know, body and brought me back to do the mission work in the same way what God wanted me here more than ever now. Okay, but God, you know, take even negative things and push us into the mission. We are often reluctant to move on the mission work. A church on a mission always, you know, begins with reluctance. You know, if I ask someone to come with me now, come on, let's go out and knock the doors, I don't know how many of us will be ready to come. Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, we'll find it very difficult, but, you know, God will definitely put that thirst in our heart. We will give all sorts of excuses and, even in the, you know, the Bible stories, you know, in Jesus' time, Jesus has seen people giving excuses to follow him. So that is, you know, the believers began reluctantly. They didn't go to Samaria on purpose, but they were obedient. The people who went out of Jerusalem to Samaria, as they went, they took the scriptures with them. They took the gospel with them. And we are seeing that, you know, they perhaps to their surprise, they began to see the Spirit of God moving in them, because they went out of Jerusalem with the gospel. The Spirit started working in them. I have realized in my life how the power of God, the Holy Spirit, work in my life. You may be wondering how this guy, you know, can go and speak to a stranger about Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something. God will show you the person to whom you have to speak about Jesus. I was sitting in a restaurant with my family for a meal. My wife, my two children, they always stop me. Dad, don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. They'll stop me. And I don't know, somehow, you know, I'll have the intuition to speak to, you know, some person. And on one instance, I was just, you know, there was a guy watching some game in his mobile phone. And I just asked him, are you watching cricket? Because I love cricket. I just wanted to ask him. That was the IPL season, Indian Premier League. You know, it's a big tournament. Every Indian will be watching, following that cricket matches. So I was asking him, are you watching cricket match? He said, no, sir, I'm watching football. And then, oh, is it? And then I said, okay, yeah, I thought you were watching cricket. No. Then he asked me, you know, that initiating the conversation with the stranger. And he said, no, I'm watching football only. Then I asked him, where are you from? Are you from India? Then he asked me back, are you from India, sir? Then he asked me, are you a Christian? I don't know what made him to ask that. He said, do you go to any church? Then, you know, as we talk for a while, he asked me, do you know how to get baptized? I was shocked, really. You know, that's the reason why God wanted me to talk to that guy. So God will, you know, show you the right person where you can go and talk to, you know, talk to him or introduce Jesus. I knew definitely it was for him he was asking. He asked me, it is for one of my friends. Then I said, why don't you come to the church on, you know, Fridays? You know, if any Hindus, you know, any Hindu person, friends, if you invite them to a Sunday morning service, they will hesitate to come. It is same like, you know, if they invite us to a Hindu temple, will we go? We'll hesitate to go, isn't it? So I invited him for a coffee and then to the church, and he started coming. And unfortunately, he had to move back to India for some visa restrictions. I'm still in touch with him. You know, you have to develop that initial relationship with him. You know that I love that verse again, you know, verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. The spread of the gospel brought joy in that city. The same message that changed lives then is the same message we have here today. It's the same Savior we proclaim, the same Holy Spirit who was at work in that city of Samaria is at work even today. We don't need to worry about the gospel is proclaimed. As the gospel is proclaimed, we can expect things to change. We can expect things to happen. There is a transformative power in the gospel. His words always does something and never returns empty, as I mentioned before. It will do its work. The amazing thing is that this man, Philip, who came with Stephen, you know, after Stephen, this man, Philip, took the mantle. God used Philip as an ordinary person. He was not an apostle. He was an ordinary person, a regular follower of Jesus Christ, who came to know that Stephen was crucified. And God used him to reach completely to a new people group, to the one where God shows his power and lives were changed. There will be Simons, you know, in the church on mission. We have seen, you know, first we see Philip going to the places in Samaria and proclaiming the gospel. And then we have the story of the Simon, the sorcerer, the magician. He was fake. He wanted to, you know, he was so impressed with Philip's preaching. Samaria was fully following, started accepting Jesus Christ. But this guy, looking at Peter's baptizing people and receiving the Holy Spirit power, he wanted to, you know, have that power. He said, I can pay you money. We will seize, you know, Stephen, this guy like Simon, like people who will come and discourage us when we go out with the gospel. So let us not be worried about people like Simon who comes and discourages. What, you know what Peter replied to Simon when he said, give me that power. He wanted to take that power in order to make money. He said, may your silver be destroyed with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. And he said, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Pray to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8 verse 20 to 24 we have seen this. Pray to the Lord, Simon replied, so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Even at that point, he was not prepared to, you know, repent and look to Jesus. He was asking him to pray for him to Jesus for nothing to happen in his. There was no repentance. Simon showed no sign of repentance, and instead of praying for forgiveness, he asked Peter to pray. So what lessons are there for the church today when people crave ministry because of status and money? We will come across with people like Simon. The church on mission often begins reluctantly, sometimes encounters surprising successes, and sometimes can meet fake people like Simon. And it may become messy. But don't worry, when Jesus comes along with us, he takes us to places where exactly the, you know, good news is to be taken. Today you may be feeling reluctant, but God can overcome that. I want to encourage you. Pray that he does. And then, you know, as you start to live on mission, Expect that you may see people respond to gospel as there is power in the gospel. In conclusion, the gospel crossed over beyond Jerusalem to Samaria that brought joy to the city. If you think about it, joy, life, and hope was brought to Samaria only because there was death of a man, that is Stephen. Without Stephen's death, the scattering of the Jesus moment, Philip would have never crossed over the boundary of Jerusalem and gone over to Samaria if there was not the persecution. So I want to leave you with two challenging questions this evening. What boundaries that are God is challenging you tonight to cross over? Who lives locally? Your neighbor, your colleague, or one of your friends who still not, have accepted Jesus as their personal savior? How about reaching out to them? What means might God resort to it if we won't go? Persecution was God forcing the church in Jerusalem and Judea to move out of Samaria. Maybe God might disturb our heart tonight when we pray. He might give a kind of, encouragement. Go on. He might show you somebody who has not accepted Christ. So ask Jesus. If you don't have any friend who's not in Christ, but ask Jesus, there are people in the city who has not accepted Christ. In this same place, Henley, there are people who haven't accepted Christ. Take a moment to pray and ask God, ask Jesus to show that one person, Jesus' name will be glorified by taking. Even children can do that. You can speak to your friends in the school and ask about Jesus. Do you know about Jesus Christ? For that, you must know about Jesus Christ. So these are the challenges I want to leave tonight. May the Lord bless us. Shall we pray? Father, we praise you once again and we want to thank you for this time. What you did in Samaria, do it among us here, Lord Jesus. Disrupt us. Use us. Change lives in our community as we tell others about Jesus. And yes, Lord, give us the wisdom as we encounter messy situations like people like Simon. May the joy enter this, that entered Samaria, enter this very same city where we live. May the joy which entered Samaria through Philip, through the death of Stephen, enter the city of London, and every knee shall bow down and confess that Jesus is Lord in London and in Harrow and in every place in England. Yes, Lord Jesus, London need Jesus. Henley need Jesus. This entire country needs Jesus. The whole world need your name. Yes, Lord, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' matchless name I pray. Amen. Amen.